Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
We're going to look at James chapter 1 today. So how many times have you heard that expression? If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. That's right. You can't just say it, you got to do it. Or actions speak louder than words. Too many times we like to say good things that sound well, but we don't follow them up with our action. Kind of interesting that we're doing this 2 days before an election. Because it's what politicians are known for, right? They make promises because they want to say what they think folks want to hear that's going to get them in office. So they make promises of things that, quite honestly, they can't often carry through on, but they're going to tell you they're going to do something. As Christians, we unfortunately are very guilty of this. We say we're going to do things and then we don't do it. I'm going to challenge myself as well. So when you hear somebody who has a need and you say you're going to pray for them, I would actually challenge you to pray for them before you're going to say you're going to pray for them, because it's so easy to say, oh, I'm praying for you, and then to kind of forget about it. So I would challenge you to say that prayer before you acknowledge that you're going to pray for them. A couple years ago, we showed a video. Micah Tyler, I don't know if any of you are familiar. Micah Tyler is a Christian singer. He was also like a youth pastor, so he has some really unique ways of being able to reach out to folks. He did a video a couple years ago. How many of you are familiar with the Rosetta Stone, you know, how to learn different languages and that kind of thing? He did a little video for the Rosetta Stone of Christianese, where you learn how to say the right Christian things and what, you know, when you want to say this is the word you use. We get caught up in that a lot, and we want to make sure we say the right thing. The term I've always grew up with is we give the Sunday school answer to something. Instead of being real about it, we think we got to sound religious and spiritual and that. So you learn the Christianese. Well, the book of James is all about being genuine. And James begins by outlining some of the general characteristics of the Christian life. And then he moves into offering some practical advice for living that Christian life. And so what we're going to look at today is the end of chapter 1, and we're going to go into chapter 2 a little bit, where we're called to hear God's word. We are to put it into action, and then we're going to see a way where we can actually apply that to our lives. So if you turn to James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Oftentimes we tend to talk more than we listen, because we think we got something important to say. And we kind of don't listen what other folks are saying. In today's society, with so much, I've not been into the office since March. I've been working from home since March. Plan on doing so as long as they'll let me and don't make me come back in. One of the tools that we use at work is Skype for different meetings. And the problem now was you get a lot of folks using Skype, and if you get several folks on the call, you start talking over each other, because you can't hear that the other person's talking, or they can't hear you talking, and you want to make sure you say what you got to say. Becomes a challenge to hear what other people are saying, because you feel you have something you need to share. That happens very much in our Christian walk as well. We tend to share more than listening. You know, sometimes the greatest way that you can help someone who's going through something is just to sit and to listen to them and listen what's going on instead of trying to have all that great advice right away. And that's so true in our prayer lives as well. When we're praying to God, we often, you know, we start going through our laundry list of needs and we don't take time to stop for a second and actually listen to what God has to say to us. It's a conversation. It's not a one-way street, but we treat it as a one-way street. God, I need this. I need this. This is going on. Amen. Instead of actually listening to what he has to say. So the challenge is to take a few seconds and actually listen to what's being said to you. And then it says, along with that, it says, be slow to anger. Got to admit, that's a challenge in my life. I struggle a little bit in that area. Tend to kind of jump the gun and get a little angry when I don't need to. I had something I was thinking about happened years ago. So I used to help coach a ladies' church softball team at my former church. Pastor Pam played on that team. She was part of that. I don't know if you saw this or not, but, and you can remember, Pam, that, you know, we had those two brothers. We played at, the ladies played at McNair Park, and there were all these two brothers who were our umpires. So because we were in the league so long, we got to know the other teams, and we got to know the umpires. Sometimes me and umpires don't always get along, and certain things happening in the game. And that happened in this particular instance where I was coaching first base. We had a girl that hit the ball to the shortstop, I think. The throw came over, and the throw was offline. Matter of fact, it was closer to the plate. It was down the line this way to right where as the gal was catching the ball, our runner was coming by. And she tagged her. Now, the thing is, if you don't play a lot of ball, when you tag someone, you need to have the ball in that hand that you're tagging them with. It's not enough just to tag them. Well, and I don't know what caused her to take the ball out of her glove, but she tagged a runner with her glove, but her ball was in, the ball was in her other hand. And the ump called her out. And I said, oh, Mr. Lloyd, that's not right. She's got the ball in her other hand. That's not exactly how it happened. I said, the ball's in her other hand. And he saw it. But because of the way I responded, he held firm to his call. The poor girl playing first base was shell-shocked because she went back to her bench afterwards, and we talked the next inning. She came out. She said, I went back and said, what did I do wrong? She had no idea what she did wrong. I said, nah, I shouldn't have responded in that way. And I went to him. I went to him after the game. Because like I said, we had a great relationship with these guys. I said, man, I'm sorry for blowing up like that. And he said, well, you know, you were right. And I saw you were right. But because of the way you acted, I was not going to change my call. I said, fair enough. We need to be slow to anger. Thomas Jefferson said, when angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, 100. I probably needed about 1,000 there, but take time. And I'll tell you what, I actually am trying to incorporate this so much. It's sometimes it's easy at work. You get an email or something irritates you, and boy, you want to respond right away. And I've done that. I'll type out a response, and then I'll stop. And I'll read. And then I'll clear it and redo it. Or sometimes I'll wait till the next day where I have some time to clear my mind and not be so negative. Because when we respond, and it's not to say that we can't respond in a way that says we disagree with something, but we need to be productive about it if we're going to do it and not just lash out at others. And that's what this verse is telling us, that we need to be slow to anger. And it continues on. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires, and that is so true. Because when people see that anger, they're not seeing God in your life. They're seeing you and how you're responding. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. We be humble. Operate in humility. Let God work in your heart. That's where you get the value. That's where the power comes from, is letting God be a part of that situation. Verse 22, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that set you free, and if you can do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. It takes more than listening. Listening's great, because we did just say you need to hear, right? You need to take the time to listen. But then once you listen, you need to apply that. You need to take action. You need to put it into action and how it's working in your heart. How many times, you know, we just had a time of communion and we just said, that's a monthly kind of reminder to us, this, to the sacrifice that was made for us. But how often is that the only time that we do it and we just kind of walk away and we forget about that? Or anytime on a Sunday morning, you have a great time of worship, you know, you get God's word, you're filled with God's word, and you walk out the door, and when you walk out the door, that's, you forget about it until the following week. Or even if you're taking a time of, when you do take some time to have some quiet time, you know, you want to sit with God, you listen to something, you read scripture, you read a book or something, and it impacts you at that moment. But then does that impact carry through in what you're doing? So when I was about 12, 13 years old, in Sunday school, they were trying to challenge us to read the Bible. So the way of doing that was you would come and report how many verses you read each week, and there'd be a running count. Well, you know, I don't like to lose, so I'm reading verses like crazy. You know, just reading Bible verses. But none of it was actually going in. I was more interested in just reading to say I read, you know, 200 verses this week or something, as opposed to really reading and absorbing what I was reading. And so, you know, it's good to, you know, sometimes you can take it, you know, read through, and we do, Sue has something, I'm going to read the book of James. And then you read a chapter, next day read chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and okay, I've read the book of James. Instead of going back and reading chapter 1 and maybe going back and reading chapter 1 again, reading it a couple times, or just a couple verses within that chapter to really see what is being said. Another thing that I kind of get a kick out of now is all these memes on social media. Or the different really great sayings that we see, some really spiritual sayings by someone, and oh, that's great, I'm going to post that on my page. Or are you posting it on your page just to have it showing there? Or is this something that really is reaching you and that you're responding to? Because that's what we want to do. We need to do more than listen. We need to respond to word that we have. We need to let it take root. Verse 26 says, if you claim to be righteous, but don't control your tongue, you're only fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Again, a warning about what we say and how we say it. Anything that we say can negate any impact that maybe our lives are having on someone, because then we say something that is a negative. We need to be able to let people hear in our words and also see in our actions, so that we can have an impact and not be controlled by that. And I would encourage you to read James chapter 3, because that talks more about the power of the tongue and why we need to control that. Verse 27 says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. We need to be real, folks. We need to be genuine. We need to understand the needs. So when this is written, you know, a lot of times orphans and widows, if they had no family to support them, they had no support. And we've tried to, you know, then we start trying to get the, you know, the church would try to find a way to lift them up. But it was so much it would fall back on the family to support them. We need to be prepared to support those who have a need. And not worry about what the world says about it. Because we're going to talk in just a moment about we start looking at people and whether they're appealing to us or not. We need to not worry about what the people look like or what they're experiencing other than that they have a need, and we need to meet that need. A couple years ago at our last men's retreat, Pastor Rick Houghton from Faith Family in Shiloh, Illinois, came and spoke to the men. And he gave the message was about, he kind of based it on the Black Panther movie and going outside your bubble. You know, don't just be self-contained. Go outside your bubble and reach others. And you're going to reach, you need to reach them in a way that maybe you're not used to. And he shared with us a ministry that his wife does. So, as I said, he's a pastor in Shiloh, Illinois. There's some businesses over on that side of the river that are a little less than savory. Cater to, you know, to a group of people that we kind of go, oh, no. But she would take time to minister to these women, these young women who work in those bars and that men go into. And she would let them know that they have value. And she would try to reach them by seeing what needs they have and by letting them know that God loves them. Now, the world would say, don't worry about those. Oh, no, you don't need to give them a second. No, they've made their choices. Leave them alone. But they meant something to her. And her ministry was to go and to try to reach them, not worrying about what the world thinks about it, but that God was calling her to take care of those ladies, and that was her ministry. So we need to not worry about what other people may think about those that we're trying to minister to. We just need to minister to those in need. In chapter 2, as we go into it, it's a great follow-up into this because it starts talking about prejudice and favoring others. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, if you favor some people over others?" I get this at home from Eli and Bella. Who's your favorite? Who's the favorite one? And Eli will even say, I know I'm your favorite. There's that competition to be the top one, to be number one. And we have to be careful about showing favoritism, even though I think, Pastor Carl, I think you showed some favoritism yesterday, but that's okay. a favorite daughter's birthday, maybe? No. We have to be careful of that because it causes dissension. It can cause hurt feelings. And we lose impact if we start favoring others. Start thinking this person is more important than that person. So one of our favorite stories at home is when Eli and Bella were about 3 or 4 years old, we were coming home, and I don't even remember what it was that happened to Eli, because that's not the story. Except something had happened to him, and we were trying to, you know, console him and find out what was going on, and what could we do for him. Well, that upset Bella because she was not getting any attention. So what she did was, she didn't just, and this was all very real, she didn't like hit a wall or act like she did something or all of a sudden kind of collapsed. She literally left her feet and jumped into the wall, hitting her head and then falling down crying because she wanted attention that bad. So we have to be very careful about favoring others. And it's also counter to what Jesus did. Because we talked about the law. In John 15:12, it tells us to treat others as Christ treated us. He didn't have favorites. He didn't group people and say, okay, I'm going to worry about these people. I'm not going to worry about these people here. He was here for all of us. Verse 2 says, for example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but say to the poor one, you can stand over there or I'll sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgment are guided by evil motives? So I had an acquaintance from many years back who, her and her husband were comfortable financially, and she went into a high-end jewelry store one day. And she was dressed rather relaxed, very comfortable. Now, today we're all dressed relaxed and comfortable, but back then maybe you would tend to dress up a little bit more. And she went into the jewelry store because she wanted to purchase something, and they would not give her the time of day. They were just looking past her because she didn't have the look of somebody who could afford what they had to sell. So she went home. She changed her clothes. She got all dressed up, and she went back into the store. Well, when she did, then she was getting their attention. Oh, man, what can I do for you? What can I show you? And she told them, she said, you know, I was just in here not that long ago, and because I wasn't dressed like this, you didn't pay any attention to me at all. Now that I come in looking like this, all of a sudden you're wanting my business. You're not going to get my business because of how you treated me previously. How often do we do that where we just, you know, we look at someone and then we look at someone else and say, oh, this person's a little more appealing. I'm going to spend time with them. I'm not going to worry about this person. That's what this passage is talking to us about, that we cannot be taken in by attractive trappings, and we cannot turn a blind eye to those that maybe are less appealing to us. It's so easy to get pulled in by that instead of just thinking, what would God do in this situation? Who would God treat? Verse 5 says, listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? You know, sometimes when things are going well, it's easy to not rely on God. Kind of think we've got things under control. But people who are experiencing hardship, it's a little easier for them to turn to Christ and ask for help. Now, this doesn't mean that just because someone's poor or someone's rich, they're going to go to heaven or hell based on that distinction. Because there's some poor folks who have some bitterness, and they still have a hard time turning to Christ. And there's some rich folks who don't allow that to define them, but they try to make sure that they care for others. It all comes back to how we treat others. Verse 6 says, but you honor the poor. You dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal laws found in the scripture. And that's what we talked about just a moment ago. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. And I think it's timely that this message, actually we had an opportunity to share this message at a time when we observe communion. Because communion is more than us individually remembering the sacrifice that was made for us. It's us together taking that time to remember. Communion, community, doing it together, thinking about what God did for each of us. And then the impact we can have on others. And as I get ready to close, I want to read something to you that I wrote actually a couple years ago. I shared this at the time that it happened. I shared some of it. And then what I'm about to read, for those of you who maybe took part in some of our Thursday devotionals we had when we were not meeting here, I read it during one of those. But it shows, it's a great picture of all of us. God's message is for all of us and how we cannot discriminate from one to the other. We are to take it to everybody. He said, I had a pretty incredible experience this past weekend that I wanted to share. I admit up front, this will require an investment of a few minutes of your time. So it's going to take a few minutes for me to read this, okay, guys? But if you can hang with me, I think you will get something from it. Our church observes communion on the first Sunday of each month, which I have the privilege to oversee. My senior pastor is great in that he gives me the freedom to take that part of the service in whatever direction I feel led. When you take part in communion at SCRC, you will see it does not necessarily follow some sort of standard template. Part of what I'm allowed to do is use videos during the service. There is one video that the church had in its library for a number of years. We had not used it for some time, so as part of communion this past Sunday, I called for it to be included. On Friday, it was brought to my attention that the video had been lost as part of a computer issue. This put us in a little bit of scramble mode, and Cindy was involved in that. She's like, we don't have this. This video's gone. What are we going to do? Okay. She goes, I found this one. I was told that one of the videos found was a presentation of the song Come to the Table by Sidewalk Prophets. This is one of the newer videos I have added to the collection. It is a great picture of how Christ invites people from all walks of life to his table. I said, that will work just fine. In my mind, I figured I was doing something that would be the easiest for us all. As I said to time, the path of least resistance. I was about to find out I really had nothing to do with it at all. So that was on Friday. Saturday night, we went to the Toby Mac Hits Deep concert. It was a great show with some talented artists. One of the artists was Mandisa. We were jamming along. Yes, I was jamming along. And then all of a sudden, she starts into her song, Bleed the Same. I've heard the song many times on the radio, but all of a sudden, the words were really hitting me. Are you left? Are you right? Pointing fingers, taking sides. When are we going to realize? It then goes into the chorus. We all bleed the same. We're more beautiful when we come together. As she was singing, I'm thinking, wow, this really fits into what we're going to do in communion in the morning. But that wasn't the end of it. A little later, Toby Mac comes out. We all love Toby Mac and our family. Not only a great entertainer, but a man with a wonderful heart. During his performance, he took a few minutes to speak to the crowd. And what he said was so thought-provoking. If you're not familiar with Toby Mac's music, his band is called Diverse City. He spoke a little about that name. He talked about the diversity in the makeup of his band, members who come from different parts of the country and different backgrounds to be one in their music and ministry. He expanded that to include the diverse nature of all the other performers that evening, coming together to be one unit, to not only perform, but to minister to us with their talents. Then he made a couple of statements that really impacted me to the point that I grabbed my phone and captured them in a note. That's what we do now. We don't have notepads. We have phones. One of the things he said was that as Christians, we should be leading this thing called togetherness. He followed up on that just a little bit later, saying that without diversity, we are missing out on some great richness. As I allowed these words to sink in, I was immediately taken again to our upcoming communion. Then it hit me. I had nothing to do with the video that was selected. In fact, because I tried to have something to do with it, the video I picked was no longer available. God had his hand in this. He knew what the message was to be for this particular communion. As this hit me standing on the floor during the show, I was not ashamed. I was a little bit choked up. On the way home after the concert, I shared some of this with Carmen. I went to bed, woke up Sunday, and it was all still there, very fresh. When we came to the time of communion that morning, I was able to share this with the congregation and then take us into the video, not the one I had selected, but the one he had in mind all along. God wanted us to see that day the importance of what he did is for each and every one of us, regardless of where we come from, what our backgrounds are, what our beliefs are. He has something for each and every one of us. And that was the message that he won for that day. And that's what James chapter 2 is telling us right here. It's a message for all. We can't pick and choose who we want to receive. It's for everybody. So, Father, as we come to the close of this message and time of service, Lord. I pray, Father, that that everyone here will examine their hearts. And when I say that, I am including myself in that as well, Lord. That I take a look at how I treat other people, Lord. And that I don't pick and choose who I think I want to hear your word, Lord. But if you put somebody in my path that I need to share with, that I would take the time to share with them, even if we may be different in other ways, Lord, because we're all about you, because you are the one common element for each one of us, because your word is for everybody here. Your message is for everybody, and you want us to get that out to everybody here, Father. So I pray that as we come to this time of close, Lord, that we will just examine our hearts again, and that we will take this message, apply it in our lives. As we learned this a little bit ago, it's not enough to hear something. It's what action do we take on it, Lord. And I pray that we take action on the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.